This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to Seagull Social Season 3, episode record-breaking, ladies and gents, because we've just obliterated Wolves 6-0. It's a record-breaking victory, and it's record-breaking actually in so many other ways as well, because De Zerbi's just an absolute madman. But before we get into all of the other football, and yes, we do have to mention Forest, and we have thought of a little one-minute opinion
30
each
seconds each
of a Forest segment, and I thought that was quite funny, so we're going to run with that anyway. But before we do, join with a very, very, very sunburnt, famous Ben. How are you doing?
Mate, it's because Brighton are on so much flames. I've just got burnt by the flames that Brighton are on. That's what's happened.
Don't look at the sun.
If you are listening, people, yeah, be careful of the sun. It is a powerful thing. I think I do this every single year when it's the first sunny day. I forget to put cream on because I'm like, I'll be fine. And then I never am.
Ben, you're literally like Carl Pilkington. It's like you've discovered fire for the first time. It's like, oh my God, things are hot.
Sun's powerful.
Yes, it is, man. Powerful. No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. But yeah. People were being nice. The girl I was speaking to yesterday, like what we were just talking about, obviously, because I literally get no girls. Joking. I was like, am I burnt? I am really burnt, aren't I? She was like, no. And I was like, how? I literally went to the mirror and I was like, oh my God. It looks like I'm just blushing from the embarrassment of saying Dennis Sundav's finished, but I actually am sunburnt.
Called you out big time.
I want to say, I, Mazdak Michael Mirzadeh, wholeheartedly apologise for any Undav slander. However, it was warranted after the Man United game, and it is one game. I am going to put it out there. It's just one game against Wolves, but it was a great, great performance, and fair play to him. He shot all the doubters up, and fair play to him. It takes a lot of like on a serious note, it takes a lot of character to actually, because like any player could just go all the way downhill from here. But fair play to him. He's actually like bounced back and cracking. That second goal was incredible. I'm sure we'll get onto it, but
shout out, Maz. How was your weekend? It is still Sunday, so it's weird. But how was your start to the weekend?
Yeah, mate, been very busy. I had a big shoot on Friday, then another shoot yesterday in Birmingham, and then now I'm back in Brighton, mate.
Condolences.
I'm in a bad place. Not mentally. it was good. Yeah, it was good. Now I'm back in Brighton, loving life. Back in ends. And then I'm gonna go to a birthday party in a bit, and then going out tonight. How about you, Ryan?
Nice. That sounds good, mate. I mean, obviously, we have Ben on the overlap as well. So we've been all representing out here in the last couple of days. And I had a bit of a meme come out of me on Friday where I stood in front of De Zerbi for a solid 20 minutes. I don't know if you boys saw it.
Oh, yeah.
it's on the club website. I want to just, because someone said that my fade was bad. And now I've had a haircut. And I was supposed to have a haircut before the press. And I was like, oh, no, I'll just have it a day later. And it's the one day that I actually get pictured right in front of the Zerbi blocking the view, and I've got a horrible fade, but I have got a nice haircut again.
So well, you can
get
off my
back. Sack your barber, right?
Put in a group chat. I saw it and I thought, oh my gosh. But it wasn't one of my finest moments. But to my apology out there, to
hashtag people that did want to see Mrs. Adset.
I was actually trying to get the voice notes app up. That's what I was trying to do. And because I get it on there and then I can transcript it later. So I was trying to get it up and it was, yeah. I was just making a bit of a hash of it. And I was just, that's all. It wasn't, I wasn't in complete awe of the man.
That's one thing I don't miss is transcribing.
Oh, man, yeah. Transcribing is hell.
Yeah, I get it.
Imagine having to transcribe this.
Okay, right. Anyway, I'm not even going to bother talking about what just happened there. But we will talk about the football finally. People have actually come in here to watch. And Nottingham Forest, obviously, it was a one of them. 3-1 win, massively deserved. Credit to Forest, whatever. But we're going to do 30 seconds to a minute. I'll give you 20 seconds slack of your opinion. Little roundup of the game. And I will be timing you. So no, I'm joking. I won't be. But yeah, go on, Ben. Hit me. 30 seconds to a minute. Of Nottingham Forest, in your opinion?
All right, why we lost is because we just played 120 minutes of football and then got lost in pens, obviously. Players are absolutely tired after like 60-odd minutes. Thought we had a really, really good start. And then, yeah, obviously, Jason Steele-Mallord saves the penalty, which maybe you could then say, should he have been in goal for the penalties against United, like we argued about in the previous episode? Yeah, I think the Foresters have to win it, and we were just absolutely knackered, and we paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Yeah, and Maz?
Just to add on to that, yeah, I thought we were actually really good up until that equaliser. I know that sounds stupid and quite obvious, but up until that equaliser, which was quite a fortuitous equaliser, I think, the deflection off Gross, I think it was, and obviously Steele sort of like palmed it in. So I think that sort of maybe, you know, hit us, you know, yeah, it just put us off a little bit. And of course, yeah, fatigue came into it. Like you said, Ben, 120 minutes of football just doesn't help. And like mentally as well. And also, and I know, Ryan, you're going to mention it as well. But we said, didn't we, before the game, the atmosphere is going to be great. And I think that definitely played a part as well. Like the crowd got behind them. You know, as soon as they scored their equaliser and then, you know, scored their second, the crowd was like fully behind them. Like you said, Ben, we sort of just then were like, let's, we've sort of given up at that point. And yeah, fair play to Forest. Great result for them. And then, yeah, we bounced back in amazing fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much what you guys have said, apart from the fact of, yeah, they wanted it more than us. Quite clearly, they wanted it more than us. Every second ball was theirs. 50-50s were theirs. Classic case of going to a bottom of the league team in April. It's one of them, isn't it? It was us not too long ago. So you have to remember that. It was us not too long ago. And we were the team that fired up, you know, take anything we can from better sides, which we are nowadays, which sounds weird to say, but it's true. And yeah, credit to the Forest fans, because I went and it was by far the best atmosphere that I've seen personally. I haven't heard a ground that loud in my life. They were unbelievable. So pretty much since they scored their equaliser, they were just pretty much rampant. And yeah, full credit to them. But big up to Jason Steele. That was a bit of a tongue twister because that penalty save was nice. But yeah, we'll move on to the game which we bounced back in, which is quite nice to be doing it this way, because otherwise we would have been, you know, maybe a little bit more of a low podcast. Yeah. But to come back,
it was
from
a good
pot
to not be able to film, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite helpful that they all come quite quick, because obviously if we filmed it, it would have only gone up yesterday, and then we've got the game, and then I think it would have just been a bit of a mess. So I'm glad we didn't, because now we've got this game to talk about. We come back, and it is a comeback and a half, to be honest with you. I mean, to have the disappointment, the heartbreak at Wembley, the hangover at Nottingham Forest, and then to come back against a side like Wolves, who got three wins in their last four. They've been on decent form. Lopetegui's got them playing some half-decent football at times. But we've obliterated them 6-0. I mean, it's the biggest ever win, as I said at the beginning of the pod. I'll let you go, Maz, to begin with, because, I mean, where to start, I guess it's up to you, because it's just so many talking points.
Well, I think the best place to start is the lineup. Like, obviously, I think I speak for 90% of Brighton fans when I say that lineup surprised a lot of people and a lot of doubts as well. Like, I'll be real with you. Like, I'll be honest. When I saw that lineup, I was like, "Fucking hell!" Like, that's crazy. To
lump on Wolves, I was saying.
Yeah, literally lump on Wolves. And this is just me being honest. Like, you look at players that haven't really played much. So like Dennis Undav going to that game, Billy Gilmore going into that game. Who else played that probably hasn't played much football? Yeah, basically, let's just pick those two, for example. Like, going into that game, you thought, right, they haven't played much football. And let's say Dennis Undav, when he has played, he hasn't played very well. So looking at that lineup, it was a bit like, oh, okay, I'm really worried because we need to bounce back. Yeah. This is like a huge game for us going into a really tough run of fixtures. Can we bounce back? And fair play to the Zerbi, fair play to all the players. Like, yeah, the way we set up and how quickly we started that game and how quickly we asserted dominance and scoring those quick goals as well and just sort of setting the tone of the afternoon. I think, yeah, fair play to everyone involved, especially De Zerbi, because, yeah, he trusted Gilmore, he trusted Undav, and they repaid him. They were both outstanding yesterday. Gilmore and Undav, both fantastic. So, yeah, fair play to everyone involved, and what a way to bounce back.
Mm. Yeah, and Ben, I mean, you're right in saying about the lineup. Were you shocked to see Undav and Gilmore? Or, to be honest with you, was it one of those where you're quite relieved? Because I personally was quite relieved. I was a bit like, thank God we're not starting Caicedo again, because he was done. Matoma was done. McAllister was done. The legs at Forest were horrendous. I pretty much everyone had a stinker game, particularly that second half. So was it a bit of one of those where you're a bit like, yeah, thank God for that a bit, you know?
Yeah, I kind of wasn't surprised because, like you said, they actually were knackered at Forest, and you could tell. And yeah, when the lineups came out, my friends were asking me, oh, should I put Brighton and Maka? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, back walls for sure. And then, of really? Course, literally in the 6th minute, we scored. And they were looking at me like, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
I wasn't in terms of, oh, we're going to lose. It was just one of those where it was like, oh, it's a weakened side, so to speak. Mm. That was my only concern. I didn't have the same mentality of like, oh, we're going to lose for sure. But I was a bit like, wow, no. That's... And then, yeah, I was working as well. And everyone was like, oh... 4-0 after 20 minutes. I was like, what the actual hell? it was mad.
It did surprise. I hold my hands up. I completely thought we were going to lose. Maybe that's a poor mentality to have, but it's just how I felt. And especially after Forest, the way we lost, I was like, heads might be down, throwing in some youngsters. But I tell you what, I didn't have the mentality of Paul Merson, who had an absolute howler. I don't know if you guys saw. He was discussing it with Jeff Stelling, isn't it?
Yeah,
I should know his name. He's an absolute legend. And he was saying about, like, the only thing I can see about that team is that De Zerbi, he knows they're not ready for Europe, so he's putting out a weakened team. Like, they're on the beach, the season's over. That's sort of basically kind of what he was trying to say. He was like, that's the only reason I can say it. He doesn't want to qualify for Europe, which is mental. Why would someone not want to qualify for Europe? Yeah. It'd be an unbelievable achievement. Jeff, to be fair, was being like, Merce, what are you all about? This is literally like their objective this season, is to get Europe. And then obviously, yeah, beating them 6-0 with that weakened team, not wanting to qualify for Europe, obviously, Paul.
6-0 with
that's hilarious. Yeah, 6-0 with a cup team. but yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, I ate my hat and my friends weren't happy with me because I told them not to bet on Brighton.
I mean, yeah, I want to start with particularly Gross and Gilmore because I thought they were absolutely fantastic. I thought, for me, Gilmore was man of the match. I thought he was brilliant yesterday. He really took his chance, and I'm so happy for him because I said it so many times. I've always wanted him to play. I knew he was a good player. Just was waiting for that moment for him, and God, did he take it! Such a great performance. Controlled that midfield, and considering that he didn't have Caicedo and McAllister around him, you would never have known it. I mean, sometimes on a counter attack, Neto had us a little bit. Probably the only one for Wolves you could actually say had a half decent game was Neto. I thought Gilmore was fantastic. Gross was just he is an absolute legend, icon, footballing genius. Yeah, he is sensational, absolutely sensational. How he's not spoken about, and this is a topic I want to talk to you about before we talk about the, you know, Gilmore and Undavs. I want to talk about Gross, a player that's in the team. Got another full 90, considering everything that's been, you know, going on. He played right back for the last portion of the game as well. And now he's played, I think, every position for us. He's still the second highest chance creator behind Kevin De Bruyne since 2017. And not to mention the fact that he's got, I don't even know how much more accolade I can give this man, but he's now only got 2 goals away from becoming our all-time record goal scorer in the Premier League. And his assists speak for themselves. So the goal that he scored was a joke. Both his goals that he scored was a joke, actually. At what point does he start getting taken seriously by the rest of the Premier League? Or is this still not enough? This is an open question because I can see Maz looking at it.
Yeah, the mad thing for me is he's never been called up to the Germany squad. And it gives me proper, like, Lewis Dunk. I know Dunkey's obviously played, he's got one cap, but Gross has never played for Germany. And I think that's just outrageous for, like, I'm sure it's one of those things, you know, like how sort of the big club bias, I'm sure that still applies in Germany. Whereas, like, he obviously plays for Bayern, so they're like, oh, he doesn't play for Bayern, doesn't play for Dortmund, doesn't play for a big, doesn't play for a big European team, so he's not good enough. But as you said, Ryan, his stats speak for himself. Like, he's just his general play. And I think you made a really good point about the positions he plays. Like, he's so willing to play anywhere. It seems like he just, I saw someone actually say, just get him on the pitch and he will play for you. No matter where, what position he's in, he will get you an assist. He will get you a goal contribution. He will be a part of the play. Like, he just wants to play football. And I think that's so incredible to see in, like, a professional. And I'm sure the younger lads as well must see that in training and in games and be like, I want to be like Pascal Gross. Like, I just want to have that attitude of just playing football and doing what I need to do for the team. And I think, he's class.
He's incredible. And Ben, any other thoughts on Pascal?
Overrated, mate. Shit. Get him gone. I think the craziest thing is, and I think you said it earlier, Ryan, is the fact that he was still so good without those key players on the pitch and, carry the team and then got the best out of all the other players that came. And, like, even in Ciso, what a player. My God, I'm so happy that he's, like, that exciting to watch, similar to Matoma in that sense.
He's the youngest ever South American to get two assists in Premier League.
Crazy stuff.
That's
mad. Scary hours for the Premier League, mate. But, Gross is incredible. Build him a statue. That, like you said, Ryan, that finish is insane. Like, the ball was drilled into him pretty powerfully by Nciso to, like, flick up like that. I'm guessing he meant to do that, obviously, and then just volley it, like, it looked like he was playing against kids in a park at some times. It was so good. Phenomenal player.
Yeah. You're right, though. The way he does play football is like he's playing in the park. His IQ is unreal. Like, he's not the quickest. Everyone knows that. I mean, when he was put a right back, don't get me wrong, he gets done for pace. He did get a bit against Brennan Johnson and stuff at Forest. But it doesn't matter. Because if you're playing in midfield where he's supposed to be, right, and I know he can play everywhere, but if he's playing anywhere along the midfield or anywhere, even on the right side, he's intelligent enough to be there and in the right spaces at all times. And his ball striking is fantastic, by the way. The volley was so crisp. You don't just score those types of goals. You have to be a good player to score those types of goals. You're right about Julio, by the way. Big credit to him because he is only 18. He's really come on this last few weeks. Yeah, 19. I don't know what De Zerbi's been feeding him recently, but he's just changed completely. It's a different Julio to what we remembered, Pasta. You know.
And talking about age as well, Ryan, people forget, I think, Billy Gilmour's only 21. Like, because he's been around for so
younger than me,
people think he's like, what, mid-20s? Yeah, like, he's finished, you know, well, not finished, but, like, he should have realised his potential already. But people forget that he's 21 years of age. And going back to the point of not playing with key players, he even came out and said, didn't he, after a press conference, saying, it's always hard being behind Caicedo and McAllister because they're so good. And I've never actually been on the pitch with them to play with them.
No.
And it's so, like, it just shows his mentality. Like, and he said, I want to work harder to get better. And I think that just shows everything about him. Like, he wants to work hard for the team. He wants to get better. And he'll take his chances when he's given it to him. So, and I think Zerbi came out as well and saying that he made a mistake about not playing him and Undav enough.
Yeah.
And he sort of realised his mistake of not playing them enough. And now he's actually going to try and rectify that, which is, again, I think fair play to Zerbi. He's putting his hands up and admitting to, a lot of managers don't like to admit when they're wrong. So fair play to him again.
That's the beauty of football. We played such a weak team. Well, sorry, not such a weaker team. But De Zerbi said that was like his best ever game of football management. And it wasn't with like four of the players that we always start with that are our best players. That's just
probably why it was his
what a day.
Because, I think that was
our biggest goal margin since 2006, which is funny enough, scoring six goals, which is, insane. Yeah, historic day.
They're the sixes. I mean, the De Zerbi, his honesty is, sort of integral to the way that he is. I think, when you listen to him talk, I know he does sometimes say some crazy stuff, but he's telling the truth. And I respect that a lot. I mean, it gets him a lot of respect, not just here, but around football as well. And actually, we've now got 50 goals in 25 games under De Zerbi. which is insane. I think we're the third top scorers in the league, got 61 in the Premier League this season. Only City and Arsenal scored more. I think Liverpool are up there as well. I think they're pretty much level on us. It's insane.
The highest XG in Europe now as well.
Highest XG in Europe.
Still got the highest XG.
It's mad, you know, because it goes to show this whole squad depth conversation that everyone was having before the game. And don't get me wrong, you know, obviously we can talk about transfers later. Obviously there's João Pedro, James Milner. There's a few wrench as well to be talking about.
Madness.
Yeah, absolute madness. It's only April. We're talking about transfers. But yeah, we've been sensational recently. And I think it goes to prove that we do have the quality in our young players. I think it's obvious we do. And the fact that we've got sort of Gilmore to step up and put in a performance of that level. And here's the question I want to ask you boys. Obviously, I know it's not a Man United preview yet, but we've got Man United on Thursday. It's a quick turnaround. Do you think that Gilmore's done enough to retain that spot to stick alongside Caicedo and McAllister potentially for United? Or would you put him back on the bench? I'll start with you, Maz.
I think definitely his performance warranted it. I think definitely, like, you could, if you're basing it on the performance against Wolves, 100% he deserves a spot. But in saying that, will De Zerbi want to tinker with that usual midfield three that he usually goes for? I'm probably doubtful. Depending on Veltman, I know he got injured again, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Against Wolves, or there's some doubt. So yeah, depending on the Veltman injury. Why not? You know, does he want to put Pascal back at right back? And will he put Gilmore in midfield? That's definitely a possibility. And based on Warren, if you want to do it on, you know, merit, definitely he deserves it. It's all down to De Zerbi, isn't it. I can't personally call his lineups anymore or what he's planning to do, because I'm sure he'll spring some kind of surprise and play bloody Moran in midfield or something against Man United. So I can't predict it, but no, definitely on performance and merit for sure.
Yeah, and Ben, what would you do?
No, I'd have our strongest midfield, because like we saw how important that midfield battle was in the semi final. Like, we completely dominated their midfield, and they'll be at full strength, I think, now, especially in that midfield. And we saw how good Caicedo was against them, so it'd be silly to not play him. I know Alexis probably wasn't at his best maybe in the semi-final. That might be being harsh, but I still think he should play well-rested after, the 6-0. But, I mean, Gilmore maybe comes on off the bench if we're kind of trying to hold on to a result at Old Trafford. Oh, no, sorry, at the Amex. But, yeah, I can only see Alexis and Caicedo starting.
Interesting. I think, the Veltman thing has probably thrown a spanner in that. I think that you could be seeing Gross right back, because he has adequate cover with legs in front of him. I think that's the one thing that really cost us Forrest, was there was no legs. And, it's sort of solely down to him to deal with pacey wingers, and it was always going to be a mismatch in that sense. Because they are like the sort of hit and run merchants that you would expect of a lower end. You know, they'll tap the ball past you and outpace you. I think that against United, it's going to be a lot more of a close tactical battle than that. It's not going to be a 1v1 situation. So I reckon, I would have Gilmore to stay in. I think he has earned it. I think you can't put a man of the match performance in at home and get dropped again. So I'd keep him in, and I'd put McAllister and Caicedo with him. But as well, another talking point I wanted to bring up, and one that I didn't really get to see too much on social, really, considering how good he was Adam Webster. I thought he was fantastic yesterday. He won everything there was to win. Very good passing as well. The sort of old school Adam Webster that we all remembered, the one we were touting for England. And, you know, he dropped Colwill, which obviously was a big call, because I don't think it was resting Colwill. I think he genuinely probably dropped him. I don't know, though, because I'm not a manager. Yeah. But Webster was fantastic yesterday.
Just on that, I think Colwill was actually awful against Forest. I thought he got...
I thought everyone
not
was,
awful,
though, to
that's
be fair
a bit
to
harsh.
Him.
That's a bit harsh. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, no, awful is harsh, but I just didn't think he didn't impress me against Forest, considering he was sort of fresh off the back of the manic, like he had fresh legs. So I thought he'd be like, you know, fit, but he was getting burnt for pace. He looked a bit sloppy. He looked a bit tired. He didn't look like he was. And again, I get it. The whole team was a bit under par, but I thought that was Colwell's opportunity against Forest to be like, right, I'm going to be the number one centre half with Dunk, because obviously Dunk's untouchable. So it's that literally him
and Dunk
Webster
had a bad game against
Forest
too. So I think it was one of those where, you know, performs badly, and then you both, you know, it's a calamity of errors, really,
wasn't
it, that game.
The rest of
Stupinian sort of gave away a penalty early. So yeah, I'd say it's a mixture of all of that, to be fair. But would you, what would you do with Webster? I mean, I would keep him in. I think he deserves it. He put in a great performance yesterday. I know he didn't get too tested, but when he was called upon, he made some great blocks. And that's one thing that you can say about Webster, is he does make some great blocks. And I don't know, it feels like he's been so held back with his injuries, and we all knew that he was a great player with a lot of potential. Otherwise, I don't think we would have spent 20 million on him. And, you know, we knew it probably last season more so, and we got to see him more consistently. This season, we've barely seen him too much. We've sort of been swapping him with Colwill, and then Colwill's come in, and then Webster's come in. There's never been that sort of dead cert two, has there, really? So, Ben, I don't know what you think, mate, but would you have, or I don't even know, not would you have, but what do you prefer? Is it a Webster dunk, or is it a Colwill dunk, or are you happy to just keep rotating between them?
I think rotating's fine. It definitely seems to have been worked this season. Maybe like against Forest, like Maz said, Colwill didn't have the best of games, which is unfortunate. But no, I think keep them rotating. I do prefer the Duncan Webster combination. Maybe it's just for the memes and just them being together, because they remind me of like the Duncan Duffy. And think, as Brighton fans, we're so used to having like that solid pair every single time, depending on who plays next to Dunk. But I think Webster still probably gets ahead of Cole for me. I know a lot of the younger Brighton fans prefer Colwill because he's got 73 pace on FIFA. But but I think for me personally, it's Adam Webster.
This is a really tough one. When you're talking about who would I choose, as in if I was De Zerbi, like I think in my head, based off like the most recent performances of Forest and Wolves, I'd right now I pick Webster, right? But if you were to talk about maybe across the season, I think I preferred Colwill more. Mm. And it's a really tough one, like to pick between the two. Going into the next game, it's Man United, I'd pick Webster. However, I don't know, I think over the season, I feel like Colwill has been pretty good. Well, he has been very good. So
very good,
it's a really, really tough one.
So do you know this is me, not me getting to the point of, but it's quite interesting, is we can't decide between at least four positions here. And people are complaining about squad depth. And look, I'm not saying I'm one of those people. And I probably was not one of those, you know what I'm trying to say. I've been one of those people. And, you know, I think that our squad depth does need improvement. It goes without saying. But when we can't decide our best 11 and we say that the next best alternative is good enough to start, and we can't decide whether he's not, they put in a man in the match performance every week. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm trying to get at, is, you know, it's a very young squad. I think that what we really saw yesterday was how we can almost not have to wait until these players are ready, and we can almost just throw them in and they are ready. I think Facundo was good against Forest in that first half. I think that you've got Nciso coming through now. You think about the ages of these two boys. I mean, one's 18, one's 19, I'm pretty sure. It's somewhere along them lines. Gilmore's 21. Obviously, Webster's a little bit older. Colwill's 19. Is he 20 now? You know, these four players that we were talking about are younger than I am. And, you know, they're a lot younger than a lot of the Brighton fan base alike. And we're looking at them thinking, are they good enough? Do we drop them? Do we rest them? And I just think it's quite an entertaining topic. But for me personally, I'll say I'd have probably Webster for United. Although I do like Colwill a lot, and I hope I said on the podcast that I'd spend sort of 40 million on him without a doubt, especially with Chelsea's sort of financial issues as well. But that's a whole other conversation in itself. But we'll move on. We'll talk about the goals actually, because that's one thing we haven't done.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were speaking to me.
I was just saying, 30 million. 30 million for Colwill, and we'll call it a deal.
Yeah, I could live with that. 30 million was fine. 30 million is fine. All right, okay. Well, we'll go on to the goals, because there's six of them to talk about. You sort of take your pick as to what was the best. Obviously, we started early. I'm just trying to remember back to how it all started, but we hit them very early. I think it was the sixth minute. Was it a sixth minute?
Undav.
We were fantastic. I don't know how it took so long to get the VAR. That's what I want to get to. The VAR took too long again. But I don't know. What did you think, Ben? Was it to you onside straight away or not?
I think it was a bit questionable when I saw it, when I saw the highlights. But it still doesn't justify the time that it took to actually come to the decision. After seeing one replay, you're like, yeah, he's onside. So that's a bit weird for them.
It was like, what was that decision? Was it Southampton? Yeah, Che Adams against Southampton. For Southampton, sorry, against, who was it the other day? Bournemouth. So it was like literally exactly sort of same vibes, but he literally had like half a toe offside. And I was thinking as well, like if they're going to do that to Undav as well, it'd be so harsh. But to be fair, his was like pretty stonewall sort of like onside decision, if that makes sense. And I thought the flick from Welbeck as well, like Welbeck got two goals and assist, was it?
So two goals, two assists maybe?
Was it two goals, two assists?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Four goal contributions as well. And yeah, it was great as well. And fair play to Undav. It was very good, like good reaction times as well, because like the flick came at him quite quick. So he had to like pivot his body. And it was, it was a decent little finish, to be fair to him.
Yeah, I agree. Welbeck's flip was fantastic. Second goal was, let's think, Gross. Great counter-attack. Started by Gilmore.
And Ciso to Gross.
And Ciso put it across. Gross, first time finish, left foot. It's straight in the top corner as well. The assist was fantastic. So quick thinking. Again, this isn't the Ciso that we were talking about. Yeah. It was too erratic not too long ago. Gross, great finish. Ben, sum it up.
I know, I was thinking that when we were talking about Ciso early in the pod, I was like, it's mental how quite recently we were saying that, is he ready yet? And Jesus, he is. He's so good. Brilliant assist. The through ball, split the Wolves' defence apart, and then, a cracking finish from Gross. Left-footed as well.
I agree. Ben? And Maz, even?
I thought, the way Gross took both goals, like, I know we'll get on to the second one, but I thought his technique is just fantastic. Like the way he strikes the ball. And it's just, if you wanted to look at a striker of the ball in terms of his range of passing and the way he strikes, his shot, like you would want to sort of base your technique on him. Just a really, really well worked goal, really well taken. And again, it just going up 2-0 up, in such an important big game. I think that just, again, set the tone for the rest of the afternoon.
Right, we're back. We're back again. Anyway, we'll move on to the... Well, we've already really spoke about the Gross's goal, to be fair. It's a great strike. But we'll mention it again just because it was so good. A great strike. Straight into that sort of not quite top corner, not quite bottom corner. It's the in-between side netting. But what a goal that was. I mean, we've already spoke about Pascal, but is he that legend status? I put it on yesterday. Is he the legend status of, your Peter Wards, even your Lewis Dunks who's playing at the moment? Ben, in your opinion... Gross, legend.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and like I said earlier, get him a statue. I think. at least he deserves it. He's so good, and I cannot wait. It'll be so good for him to be that Premier League record goal scorer for us. I know Glenn Murray's been an unbelievable legend for us as well, but I think what Gross has done for us in the Premier League throughout his time at Brighton is just second to none. And we always go back to that stat about, I think, the chances created. He's only behind De Bruyne since he joined the Premier League. And it just shows, and I think there's no player that's probably more deserving of that record than him.
Yeah, I agree. And just to add on to what Ben says, I think because of how successful we've been in the most like recent years, and we've got legends in the past that have played for us in the Dean era, the Goldstone era, and way beyond. It's amazing, but because obviously we're sort of living it now and like here and now, it becomes a bit more special, I think. So like the memories of Pascal, scoring against Man United, all these big moments that, he's got loads of really incredible moments. So I think it sticks out more and it makes it a bit more special.
Every single time.
Yeah, exactly. He's been throughout the whole, pretty much, I think the whole Premier League period, hasn't he? Since we came up. So yeah, I think, and he's been incredible, like you said earlier, Ryan, like his stats speak for themselves, his chance creation, like just everything about his general play. He's what, so close to the record. I think you've got to give him legendary status. I don't think you can't deny him that, really.
It's quite funny that the assist king is going to be our record goal scorer.
Yeah.
Not a striker.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Well, it goes to show Evan
Ferguson's.
Though, doesn't it?
Like, could be Evan Ferguson's soon.
Yeah, well, he probably would be, to be fair, if he stays fit. But yeah, Pascal he goes beyond words, mate. He goes beyond words. I think, to be honest with you, just to say about the legend thing, is we're doing it at the highest level that the club's ever been at now. And for us to compare him to, players that are great for us in League One and the Championship is fine because, they're what's happened. They've done for the club, great. But when you're comparing it purely on ability, Pascal Gross goes down as probably one of the best the club's ever had in terms of complete quality. Mm. And I think that when you put it that way, it's really, it sort of blows your mind a bit because, you know, I know that you can live in the past and live in nostalgia, but at the end of the day, the players now are better than they were then. It's as simple as that, right? You know, people can disagree because of nostalgia, but it's true. You know, people are, every player's an athlete. You go down to the Championship, players are athletes now, you know? So it's a completely different ball game. Football IQ's higher, tactics are better, and Gross has just kept getting better every single time, and he's what, 31 32 now, and he's aging like a fine wine. It's you know, full credit to him for adapting to De Zerbi and adapting to every manager you've had in the Prem so far. But yeah, we'll talk about the fourth goal, which was obviously Welbs got his, well, finally got a goal. I think it was a game that was sort of crying out for him, probably the ugliest of the six. I think Jose Sarr will be very disappointed with himself, sort of gone underneath a bit of his arm and his leg as well. But it's a great cross from Purvis. Yeah. He's got it across really well. Good leap as well, to be fair to Danny. But it just felt too easy at that point. Like, it felt really, really, really easy. I don't know about you, Maz.
Yeah, like, well, fair play to him as well. Well, because easily, you know, like, as a striker, because he's done that big leap and it's easy for him to just do like because he's hit the ball into the ground, which I think that was the key factor there, because he's hit it downwards, whereas usually maybe a striker would just hit it and then Sarr's just got an easy catch then. Whereas he's actually hit it into the ground, which has made it difficult for Sarr to get down that low. So do you know what? Like, credit where credit's due. He's actually thought about how he's going to head that ball. It's not just get my head on it, go to the best. He's actually thought about
downward.
I'm going to hit it down and it's going to make it really difficult for the keeper to get down. And he's got it past him. And yeah, agreed. Probably Sarr's going to be a bit disappointed. But Danny Welbeck's actually thought beforehand, right, I'm going to hit this into the ground and it should make it much more difficult. And he's got his goal as well.
Okay. And Ben, it capped off, started off, shall I say, a fantastic performance from Danny. Like, probably, in my opinion anyway, the best he's done at the club. Those sort of 60 minutes he played was, I can't think of another one where he's played that well. As you say, two goals and two assists. I don't know about you, Ben, but I thought he was fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, it's just another reminder of why we have him and why we haven't shipped him off yet, because obviously he does get a lot of criticism because of coming off injured. But like, when he is on the pitch, when he isn't injured, he can do that, and he has that in his locker. I saw some tweeters like, he's been scoring in the Premier League for like 15 years now, and he's been at some top clubs under some unbelievable managers. And I think there's no reason why we should look to get him gone soon, and he's a great option to have when he is fit, of course. And that's probably the frustrating thing, and why people do get frustrated, because he can do that on the pitch when he isn't injured, but more often than not, he is.
Agree. But saying that, you know, it was a start, and then straight away after the second half, I mean, he scored probably, I don't know whether you put this down to goalkeeper should have got it, or whether you put it as a really
He had a bit of a
shot.
Stinker, didn't he?
It was a bit of a bad bit of goalkeeping, but I don't know. It was a nice finish, left foot, it curled it. It was a good technique on the ball. Keeper's going to be disappointed naturally, but it's still the brace. And I think that, as I say, he deserved it yesterday, Welbeck. He deserved a bit of probably luck, but as well, I thought he was fantastic. As I said, the best I've seen him play so far. I don't know about you, Maz, but would you give Danny another year? I think you got to. I think he is on a 2-year deal now, but you know, you've been heavily critical of him in the past, but he just keeps coming up with the big goals in big games. And I know we had already been 5-0 up by that point, but he was instrumental to getting us to that point anyway. And it's that typical April, May time Danny Welbeck where he turns up again.
No, 100%. Like, look, I agree with you. I've definitely been critical of him in the past. But my biggest frustration, and Ben's already touched on it, was that simply just the injuries. It's like, cool, you can have a great player, an incredible player, but if they don't step on the pitch, then what? You know, I get, obviously, off the pitch as well, he must be a big influence.
Massive.
And he definitely helps off the pitch as well. Like, I think the lads love him, the manager loves him. He's got an abundance of experience, as Ben mentioned. He's played at really top clubs. He's been doing it for 15 years. He's clearly a massive asset to the football club, and I 100% would give him another year. My just biggest qualm is that, injuries, like, how much, you know, you can't... For me personally, he's not a starter. For me, I'd still have him as an impact player to come off the bench around 60 minutes and impact the game that way. That's just my personal, you know, opinion. And he's proven me wrong plenty of times. I can't deny that. But I just don't think he's... If you want to be, you know, now going for Europe and playing at, you know, Europa League level or conference level, even Champions League level, let's be real with everyone. He's not the guy to lead your line. Can we all agree on that? Or not? Or would you?
Maybe Europa League and Conference League, he could probably do it. But yeah, not Champions League, maybe. No.
That's fair enough. That's just my opinion anyway.
Let's think about getting Baghdad away in the Conference League. I think Welbeck can do a job in Baghdad.
Conference League, Europa League, you probably could do a job. But let's say we have aspirations.
League are literally like pub teams.
Yeah, true. But okay, let's say we
get knocked out of the groups.
Yeah, don't even qualify. Let's say we've got aspirations for Champions League. I just don't think he's the guy to lead the line. But that's not to say he's a brilliant, you know, player to have in the squad. I'm not contesting that whatsoever.
He's a great individual as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, he gets on so well.
Yeah, I just think personally, I think he's a definitely give him a contract, give him a new 1 year extension. Having him in with the squad, and hopefully with additions, let's say the James Milner as well, and Adam Lallana in the squad, we're going to have such great experience in that squad to help the younger, especially the amount of young players we have, to pass on that wisdom and experience is worth the 1 year contract alone. So,
well, you could see the experience and wisdom that he's probably passed on, because he's known for his iconic chip, and he loves using the chip emoji on Twitter. And Dennis Undav done arguably one of the best chips you'll see. Pretty soon afterwards, didn't he? It was such a good goal. The way it like hits the bar just before it goes in as well. It was an unbelievable finish.
I didn't realise it at the post.
He looked like a player that had been scoring like 20 goals a season. Like, he looked like so confident to take that. He didn't look like a player that's had a lot of criticism recently.
I think that's what it is with Undav. He's a very good finisher. I think just the other parts of his game, he's improving. He's unbelievable at finishing. But it's just the other parts of his game, you know, the link-up play, the little passes, the, you know, just the basic stuff, I think, of link-up play and, you know, he gets himself into good positions, etc. And he's very good at finishing, but then there's other parts of his game which need improving. I think that's what's frustrating, I think, sometimes for fans.
Mm. Saying that, though, like, I think when you're at this club at this moment in time, you are at the best club in the country, in the world at the moment, to be, if you want to progress as a player. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else at the moment, unless you're at a Manchester City, and that's about it. I mean, you know, if you're at a Man City, but then you're not going to have the chance to progress anyway. I think if you're a player like Undav, who's been so low on confidence, fans, it's amazing what happens when people stop shouting and more into the abuse at him, isn't it? It's amazing. But anyway, I just think I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for him because he deserves it. He's a popular guy around the squad. He's clearly a good finisher. He had a great game yesterday. And I am so happy for him because he deserves any sort of moment like that. Similar to Billy Gilmore, they've waited for this moment. They've had the patience. They haven't kicked up a fuss. They've been patient with the fans, even when they've been getting on their backs. And they've not just been throwing the towel in and getting in a strop about it, which is what most fans should be annoyed about. But still, somehow they managed to find gripes with the ones that are. But yeah, I think that they've been both fantastic. And one thing I would say about both of them, particularly Billy Gilmore, he was always looking for the ball. He was sort of screaming midfield, off the ball, creating space for himself, always looking for that pass. And regardless of where it was in the pitch, he was making up the ground. And similar to Dennis Undav, he dropped deep quite a lot. I think Danny Welbeck almost played a bit of a 10 yesterday and played it so well. And that's, you know, you wouldn't have been able to say that Danny Welbeck would have been playing a 10 yesterday. But Undav sort of did the same. He dropped deeper, went forward. Billy Gilmore was all over the place. I think it's proof that we do have these players, when they're in good confidence, to be fine. I do honestly believe that Undav was a confidence thing. And I really, really, really hope that this is a kick on for him. Because I said it to you boys off air, didn't I? I said, if he scores against United, all will be forgotten. All will be forgotten that it was even mentioned as a flop.
Ryan, I think.
What was that? Oh, what if he scores against United, I get a Undav shirt.
Oh yeah,
let's chill. But
you said it.
Depends how nice the home kit is next season. If the kit's nice next season, I might consider it. But no, shout out to Dennis. He really took his chance yesterday, and it just sealed off such a great day. I mean, when Undav scoring a goal like that, chip, as you say, like, unbelievable finish, probably the best of the lot. But that brings me on to the question, Ben. What was the best of the six?
Oh, mate, that's really tough. Obviously, it's between Gross's volley and Danny Welbeck's header. No, I'm kidding. that's really, really tough, actually, because the technique and both of them are so different, but both were so good.
Gross first as well was good, you know. That Julio pass started with Gilmore's pass. I think counter-attack.
Yeah, it was. You know, I'm gonna give it to Dennis Undav, which is harsh on Gross because it was such a good goal, but just because it clips the bar as it goes in, I think that just made it one of the sexiest chips you'll ever see. So I'm going to give Dennis Undav.
Yeah, great.
How about you, Naz?
It is really tough. It's a good question. I'm going to go with Pascal just because of the way he was fizzed into it. Yeah, the volley. Yeah. The way it was fizzed into him, the way he like sets himself up and he just wallops it in. And it was just like really aesthetically, he sort of curves away as well from the keeper.
Yeah.
And I've got to give it to Pascal.
You know that Peter Kay meme where he just goes, fuck off when he hits the ball? Yeah. That kind of reminds me of that. Like, I wish Pascal Gross would went, fuck off, and just smacked it to our bins.
It was a great strike. Like, he got so much power behind it. I'm going to give it to Dennis for the occasion. But yeah, Pascal's was such a pure strike. But I'll give it to Dennis for the occasion. He deserves it. Took it so well, as you say. And a little celebration at the end as well. And it sealed off as well for only the fifth time in Premier League history that there was three players having a brace in a game. That is insane, by the way. Mad stat.
Was he our 15th goal scorer this season as well in the Prem? Or
is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the only team that has a better of 16 different players is Arsenal, I think. I read.
Oh, wow. And we've also broken our points record of last season as well. Yep. So many records broken yesterday. Mm. We've been seriously flying.
And another record break to lead us on, and breaking our record transfer fee, João Pedro.
There you go.
30 mil, apparently. Oh, my God. That surprised me so much seeing that. I was like, is this a joke? I checked for Britchio's at, and I was like, surely this is like a fake account. But luckily it wasn't. That came out of nowhere.
He seems to like us again now, Fabrizio. I think after we did that tweet.
DM me.
After that tweet we did about does Romano have an agenda against Brighton? Mm. He's been very pro-Brighton.
So thank us, Brighton fans. We basically made that deal happen.
You're welcome.
We made the João Pedro deal happen.
We're involved. But no, for legal reasons, we weren't.
Yeah. Just on João Pedro, I think it's a fantastic signing. He's 21. He's done pretty well considering a struggling Watford for their standards. They really struggled this season in the Championship. I know that they, I think like the running joke at the moment is that they give away a lot of leads. They go sort of 1-2-0 up and then just capitulate.
Yeah.
For a struggling Watford side to score, I think it's 11 goals, I want to say, this season, or something around that. He looks an exciting player. He's still raw. He's still only 21. He's already played in the Premier League, obviously, when they first signed him. Exactly. And then I think it's really important that he's actually played in the Championship to really, you know, develop him as a player and, character and physicality. Everything about your game, you improve in the Championship because it's such a difficult league. I think it's a really exciting, and I think hopefully it's a statement of intent of what Bloom is going to invest now and invest into De Zerbi, hopefully. I think that's like the key takeaway for me is if we're going to spend 30 million on João Pedro, he's a 21-year-old, you know, will we spend more elsewhere as well? So that's exciting.
I don't know João Pedro. That's such a great response. De Zerbi, that is class. But I agree. I think he's a fantastic player. I've signed him on every Football Manager, genuinely.
I signed him this season as well.
So I'm happy. Yeah, I'm glad we've gone after him because he does look class. And 30 million. So this seals off such a crazy, weird week for Brighton. We lost 3-1 to begin it all off at Nottingham Forest. But then we spent 30 million on a player that we weren't even linked with to then score four goals in 40 minutes to then break our record of 6 goals in a Premier League game.
We need to lose midweek.
Break our points record as well. Maybe we should just play Forest like just to humble us every Wednesday, and then we could just like bounce back against. We always seem to do it. But one more actually as well. You've always got James Milner. I'm a big fan of this. You know, I'm a big fan of getting Milner in. I think that's class. Bit of experience, can't go wrong. Squad depth, player coach role. Give it to him on a plate because I'll have it all over the time. Versatile as well. I'm all over it. What about you, Maz?
Yeah, again, very similar to Welbeck vibes. I wouldn't want him starting every game, but definitely having him in around.
He's got great fitness, to be fair to him.
Yeah, no, mate, like, fair play to the guy. He's, what, 38? And he's
still my friend says he wins the bleep test every year, yeah, apparently, at Liverpool.
Like, his fitness levels are so a joke. Mm. Yeah, he's a joke, don't get me wrong. It's just, but, like, if you can't start for Liverpool, obviously they are technically better than us. Well, they're not at the moment. But, like, you think, if he's not, you can't get into the Liverpool side. And it's sort of similar.
An upgrade, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an upgrade. Exactly, mate. You can't get into Liverpool. How's he going to get into the Brighton team? It's a great addition. Brings a lot of experience. Like you said, versatility. He can play pretty much anywhere, really, aside from up top and centre back. So it's great versatility, especially like, let's say, Veltman gets injured again. And he's obviously been injured quite a bit now recently. To have him as a right back cover is brilliant. Really good addition. Really smart. And like you said, Brian, potentially even could go into coaching after and potentially at Brighton as well. So
that's probably one of the biggest selling points for him as well. Yeah, obviously, really good addition. I'm sure Lallana's probably sung our praises for that. I'm just looking into the future next season and I'm seeing a lineup of Gross at right back with James Milner at left back. It's going to be unreal. And then we somehow
I can't
win.
Wait.
We will be there. Margin.
I did see a funny. I think a few people made the same joke, but it was funny. It was like, Brighton's done it again. Another unknown coming.
Decent wonder kid.
Yeah.
I think we should know him out first. But no, he's going to be good. He's going to be good, mate. Don't worry. No, I'm excited for it. All jokes aside, James Milner, it's a welcome addition, without doubt, to seal that one off, because he would be a good signing. And 37 years old, still one of the fittest guys.
It would be so weird seeing James Milner play for Brighton. How weird.
Yeah,
that?
It would. Wouldn't it? I thought that.
That is so strange.
He's a very famous guy, you know. He's a famous face. Like, people know his face. In football, he's a very big character, but it should be good. And also, last one, just the last bit of transfer news was obviously Devin. I can't know how to spell his name. Wrench. Unreal on Football Manager. So for that reason, I'm all over it. Ajax right back, Wrench.
He's
so good on that. Yeah. So according to the report, I'll read the
Scott
report
well.
Just from here, because Alex Scott as well. That's according to Alex Crook. Shout out Alex Crook. He's a good guy. On here it says, according to, let me just make sure I don't get his name wrong, Santi Orna. Sorry if I butchered your name, mate. However, Brighton are more advanced than Arsenal to close a deal this summer for Devin Wrench, who is a right back, obviously great, great talent. Everyone would sort of knows him. He's Dutch. But I'll be all over it. We do need a right back without a doubt. Apparently, he's our top priority this summer as well. I don't know if you boys are too familiar. I'm sure, Ben, you've probably used him on Football Manager as well as me.
Surprisingly, I haven't, actually.
Oh, wow. I've beaten you on one.
You have. It just, my question, obviously, what did you say? He plays left back or right back?
Right back.
Right back. I think, is that because Veltman is going? Because I know his wife doesn't like the club.
We've got
or
no
something
depth
like
of him, have we?
I know, but apparently, Veltman might be leaving. Yeah, people worried he's gone.
Deserby came out in an interview, said he wants to stay. It's just whether he wants to stay, basically.
That was my interview. He said it.
I said to him
about Veltman. He said he wants him to stay. But I think he will. I think he will now.
But the question then, boys, is: does that mean Lamptey's out the equation then?
I think Lamptey. Yeah, I think he could be for a bit. I reckon he needs a loan, mate. Like, he needs a full season of playing football again, because he barely plays anymore because he's just constantly injured, which is a shame because he's such a great talent, but he just always gets injured. And we all loved Harrick, we always have done. But I'm probably the last person you'd expect to say yeah, but I don't want him to risk his career getting injured in the Premier League when he could probably do it alone now. But we'll see. Sad. Apparently Sporting want him, don't they?
Yeah. Well, Wolves did, wasn't it? Yeah. Wolves tried to loan him as well in the window, towards the end of the window.
Yeah, he could be right, you know. I wouldn't go there, mate. I was just saying for a mate. But yeah, anyway, I think that's about it. Obviously, Alex Scott we mentioned, but we'll see about that one because it's a bit of lesser links. There's nothing advanced yet, but we'll see. But yeah, that caps off a pretty unbelievable three or four days, to be honest with you. What a mad whirlwind of four days it's been as a Brighton fan. Anything else to mention? I don't think there is.
Comments below, Dennis the Menace, another pod title by Ben. Thank God.
There you go, Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace. Comment below, Dennis the Menace. It'll be the pod title as well. We'll see you probably, yeah, just before United, because we've got a preview of it anyway. Maz has got a dart off to a party now, so he's going to be getting on it. Party. Yeah. And we'll see you all very, very, very soon. Cheers.
Sorry, and if you want to be on the pod, there the link will still be below to sign up to that waiting list. Be on the pod.
Get on the waiting list for...
In the description, YouTube description.
Don't go yet.
Oh.
Next gen.
Next gen. Jeez.
I'm not putting the hat on, because I'm just...
Peace. Boom.
See you later. Yeah.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.